Thanks for checking out SciTech. If you've enjoyed any of our episodes, I invite you to please leave a review for this or any of the other Geek Therapy shows on iTunes. If you don't listen on iTunes, I completely get it, but it would still mean a lot if you left us a review there. Thanks a lot. Welcome to SciTech on the Geek Therapy Podcast Network. We're a psychology and technology podcast. My name is Josue Cardona with Kelly Dunlap. What's up, Kelly?
This topic this week, Josue, I'm having a hard time. I'm not in the best mind space after reading this and like prepping for this episode. I want you to know that I'm in kind of a tough place today.
Okay. That's not good. I'm usually the one that starts off in a bad place. Well, let's try to have some fun, at least, hopefully, as we talk about what is essentially the end of the world. Let me tell you a story. Let's start off with the story. Okay.
Okay. I like stories.
So I saw
Wait. Does a dog die?
No. Nobody dies. Nobody dies.
Oh, I don't care about people. I care about the dog.
So. No dogs were hurt in the making of this joke.
All right. Go for it then.
So I saw this tweet by at @electrolemon on Twitter. Okay. And it says, "Oh, wow. Just caught a preview of Donald Glover's Lando rap for the Han Solo movie. Didn't realize we'd be getting new Childish Gambino music so soon. I hope Disney doesn't take this down." Okay. And then the video in the tweet is off to the side, someone catching a glimpse of this video that's playing on another screen. So it's like, so it's not an actual capture of this video. This person is recording it, like maybe secretly, you know, but off to the side, maybe he's in a meeting or something, and they're playing this video, and it's Childish Gambino rapping about being Lando Calrissian, okay, with footage from the Han Solo movie trailers and all these clips and these really cool, it's like a lyric video with all these really cool text on the screen. The rap is actually pretty good. And my first thought was like, whoa, this is pretty cool. Of course, it wasn't actually Donald Glover rapping. It wasn't the video was real, but it was nothing about it was real. So this guy put in a lot of work to make this really, really good. First of all, he wrote the lyrics. Then he impersonated Childish Gambino. Second, he made this amazing video, like really high quality video. And then he went through the trouble of like recording it off to the side instead of uploading his work for real, just so it would be more believable that it was like a thing. And it's obviously fake. Like immediately afterwards, you know, people are talking about how fake it is and he probably does this sort of thing. But he put a lot of work into making a fake thing on the internet, which is like, on the one hand, commendable. Like, man, you put a lot of work into that. And what scares me is how he went through a lot of trouble. And now people have to go through a lot less trouble to make something as believable or more believable. And the internet, I don't know what to believe anymore, Kelly. I don't know what to believe anymore. I don't know what's real and what isn't.
I have taken the stance of not believing in anything. As terrible as that sounds, I question everything that happens. I just, like anything on my Facebook feed, on my Twitter feed, I just, if I see a headline and something seems almost too extreme or too good or too bad to be true, I'm instantly suspicious.
Yeah, I mean, I believed it for 2 seconds, maybe, that video, because I wanted to believe it. But then I too have been trained to like, no, I can't just believe it. I need to double check, triple check this. Why is the world like this now, Kelly? Why can't we just believe what we see?
Because our generation, the millennials, which I will proudly claim is my own, have grown up in a world where we have been taught from day one to be hypercritical. I mean, think about, you know, we grew up on, you know, not only were we told about stranger danger, but we learned about phishing emails and, you know, don't click on the ads. Because I was actually talking with my husband earlier about like where this deep-seated hatred of ads come from online. Because I was in a Facebook group and they were talking about how, you know, this politician took an ad out against that politician. And I was trying to explain to them that I know, but Google labels it as an ad. Nobody believes anything that's labeled as an ad. And most of the people in this conversation were much older than I am. And so we were talking about it a little bit. And it comes from the fact that, you know, when we were coming up with the internet, if you clicked on an ad, you have no idea where you can end up. You could end up with malware. You could end up at a porn site. I mean, the internet is a lot safer in that regard now, but that kind of skepticism and healthy paranoia about what is on the internet, I think, is really a key part of millennials. Now, I don't know how things are going to be for the younger generation, for Gen Z, I guess now, Gen Z, that, you know, they grew up with kind of the safeties on in terms of the internet, whereas we grew up in like the wild, wild west. So I don't know what the future holds for them. But for us, I definitely feel like that's where our healthy dose of skepticism and tendency to not believe most of what we see and hear.
I wish that an entire generation of people were savvy in that regard, but I don't buy it. I don't think so. I think it explains maybe you and me, but man, I don't know. I talk to a lot of people, and
so maybe generation's too big of a term, but like there's a slice of millennials. There's a slice of us, like the old millennials. You know, the people who were born in like the 80s, I feel like, are this golden, and this is completely self-serving, but this golden era of people who came up at the same time as the internet was accessible. And so we grew along with it, and we know what the underpinnings are, and we've seen it all to some extent before it was filtered out, before it was censored out, before the law came into town, you know, so to speak. So I don't know. You got to give me some hope, Josue, because you know, talking about what we're talking about this week, which is not just fake news, but how technology, advanced technology like AI, is enabling news to spread or information to spread that is very, very hard to say it's true or fake. It's, you can't just look at it and go, oh, that's not real. It's a lot harder now. And so, yeah, you got to let me have some kind of hope to glean onto.
See, man. So the thing that sparked this conversation or this idea for me was a tweet that I saw. It was a guy called Sean Usher, and let me just show you the tweet. So he quote tweets Trump, right? And he says, there's always a tweet, right? It's that what people say on Twitter, because essentially everything that Donald Trump says, there's usually some sort of tweet that he made years ago that says the opposite. And many times that's true. Usually I go back and I check. And so this guy does that. And then he says that Donald Trump tweeted in February of 2015 that if the Dow Jones, spelled J-O-A-N-S, ever falls more than 1,000 points in a single day, the sitting president should be loaded into a very big cannon and shot into the sun at tremendous speed. No excuses, with, you know, misspellings and caps lock and all the usual things that our president actually does use when he tweets. Now, when you see that right off the bat, because it falls in line with something that we see all the time, which is like these tweets that contradict what his ideas are now, again, you look at it and you're like, whoa, like that's, and it looks legit. Except, of course, discerning Twitter users will know that if you're going to quote tweet something, you don't quote tweet a picture. You quote tweet the actual tweet. So I was like, oh, that's a picture like that. So that's probably not real. So I immediately started looking, and like he admits himself. By the time I got to it, which was a few hours later, so many people had believed it, and it was so out of his control that Snopes had already contacted him within 2 hours just to be able to debunk it and put it on their website, because it was going around and people were starting to believe it. And who are Twitter users? Aren't Twitter users like mostly tech-savvy millennials?
No.
I would think. Because
no.
See, because if we talk about Facebook, Facebook has a billion users, right, worldwide. It is incredible, the number of users that it has. Twitter doesn't have that many. And I don't know. I agree, right? It's not all like very discerning people. But, oh, man, like it just shocked me. And then the way he made the tweet was using a fake tweet maker, which is, of course, a thing. So you just take a person's account, put the information in, and then you can make a picture of what looks like a tweet by the person that looks believable. But that one really, like, it was so close to something that you would think might be real, or it seems in line with things that we've seen before. And it was so easy to make, and it was so easy to fool so many people. I don't know. That one kind of shocked me.
Yeah. I, for me, the key to that one in particular is that, considering our sitting president, those kinds of statements feel completely realistic. They are in line with like what we have been inundated with for over a year. So the fact that the misspellings, the large text, the incoherent writing, like that is the norm. Like that's a good, what's the term I'm looking for? It's like a good impersonation of him. Yeah. Like that's what it reminds me of. This is a digital impersonation. You know, the same way someone might impersonate someone on SNL or in like a spoof video or something like that.
Or like that Childish Gambino video. Like it sounded like him. It sounded legit. It was a good joke, but it was a good impersonation.
Yeah, I think the difficulty here comes in with the potential for harm. So like the Childish Gambino one, I'm sure you could make the argument that it has potential to harm, but I think that would be a very difficult argument to make. This tweet, I think, could have some harmful effects. Obviously, that this author was not anticipating. I was reading through the entire thread. He got contacted by like lawyers and mm-hmm. members of the press corps and, how to defend himself against legal action. So it got really serious for him really, really fast. Even though obviously that was never his intent, and I'm sure he never thought in a million years that something like that would happen. So I'm not that ignorance excuses potential harm, but that's at least a little bit more digestible. Whereas one of the other things that we want to talk about in terms of like representing a fake reality, where we've seen this kind of technology become easier to use and more difficult to discern from reality, and that's with the face swapping.
Yeah, and I want to like build up, right, how like over time how I've been kind of taking a look at this and it's been scaring me, and how really I think the AI component is what really it makes it too easy. Again, the Childish Gambino video, hard to make. Like this guy is a pro. He's a pro at Photoshop, Premiere. he's a pro at making music.
He's an artist.
Video. He is like, an artist. Yeah. Yeah. Right. So, and he put work into that thing. That is a performance piece. It is fantastic. That tweet is literally just like a website where you type in information, make a picture, and that's it. And the guy, it's not like he has a million followers or anything like that. He has, decent number of Twitter followers. He made this thing. He was making a joke. I want to bring another example that kind of like brings this home for me is, have you heard of the Justice League movie Superman Mustache?
I have not.
Justice League, superhero movie. Superman is in it. And then they had to reshoot some scenes after the initial filming was done. And Henry Cavill, who plays Superman, was filming Mission Impossible 6. And due to his contract, he had to have a mustache. He has a mustache in that movie, and he couldn't shave it, according to his contract. So when he came back for reshoots on Justice League, he has a mustache. So no problem. It's like, we've got powerful computers that can do special effects. We'll just remove the mustache. Now, the times that I've seen the movie, I couldn't tell that his mustache was digitally removed. But some people say that they couldn't tell. I mean, they couldn't look away. Like, it was so obvious mm-hmm. to them that there was something there, that it wasn't okay. Presumably, there's a special effects company that spent probably millions of dollars, right? I'm guessing, just to remove Superman's mustache from a whole bunch of scenes in the movie. And apparently, some people didn't buy it. This morning, I saw a video where a guy simply using the same type of, like, face swapping technology, I believe, that we're going to talk about later, he just programmed the computer to remove the mustache from Henry Cavill's face on Mission Impossible 6 footage. Essentially, he just clicked a button and it happened. And it looked really, really believable. And it's incredible to see the videos side by side and just see it disappear. And the joke, right, in the videos is like, hey, like, I made this on a $500 computer. And apparently, this special effects company couldn't do it right. And that doesn't mean that the technology wasn't there a year or two ago when they had to remove that mustache. It was probably a year ago. It's not like technology has advanced that much in 1 year, but I think I can make the argument that it has because AI is allowing us to do things that, again, we couldn't do before, and I didn't foresee this one. But to think that you could essentially just remove someone's facial hair that's probably pretty funny. You take a character who you've never seen without a mustache. Like my father, I've never seen him without a mustache. I would love to use that technology to just take all his pictures and take videos of him and just remove that thing. because he never wants to shave. It's a running joke in our family. I would love to use that for fun. But oh man, like if you can do something like that, you can start to imagine the type of things that can happen. And the first thing, and I'm sure I sent this to you a long time ago, was that the Obama video. Do you remember that one?
Yes.
What did you think when you saw that?
Something didn't seem right, but I couldn't have told you what.
What do you mean?
I don't know. If I could put it into words, I would. I just remember seeing it going, something, it felt wrong, like a spidey sense was going off. And I can't verbalize any better than that. I would not have been able to tell you this is false, this is accurate. Like, it just felt wrong. I don't know. That's the best I got.
It makes sense. I mean, what the technology was doing, right? This is a University of Washington. They created a tool that takes audio files and then takes a video of a person and then takes the audio file and essentially creates new like mouth movements based on the audio file. So when you put it together, you can essentially make one video of a person say anything else with any other audio. So I've seen demos of that where you have a younger version of George W. Bush saying things that old George W. Bush said, or things that completely different people said coming out of the same mouth of the person. And it's like synced. I don't want to say perfectly, because I think there you're talking about Uncanny Valley stuff, right? It's like, it looks real, but it maybe like the sound is not synced properly. Like something's not completely human. Like it's not there completely. But I think for to fool people, especially like right off the bat, I think it does a job. And that was, I think that when those first videos came out was over a year ago also.
Yeah, I mean, that was done in a lab that has, you know, all the resources behind it. And, you know, that is less scary because, again, it's this idea that this technology has, you know, like incredible implications for evil. at least it's contained. But that is not the case anymore.
It's not scary, though. I mean, I think that is incredibly scary, especially because they use the example of the president. Like, they could take a Donald Trump impersonator and run this video through and essentially make a video where he's declaring war on different countries and just freak people out. Or, like, I have lots of audio of you. I could kind of, like, cut that up, right? Or hire an impersonator if I want to, you know, be fancy about it. Like, listen, I want you to impersonate Kelly, and then I have a video of you from a presentation, and then I can make it sound like you're saying whatever I want. Like,
well, I mean, I'm not
that
saying
is
that
terrifying.
I'm not saying it's not scary. I mean, it's uncomfortable. It is. I don't like this. This is not nice. But this is. It's not like the pant wetting apocalyptic future that I think is on the horizon, which sounds like really over the top. But I was thinking when I was prepping for the show, like, you know, we keep thinking that the future dystopia is one in which we live in technology, like in Black Mirror, you know, technology is so integrated into our reality that it takes over, like the Matrix. We live in the reality of technology. But what this kind of tech is making me think of is our reality might just stay the same, but we just won't be able to parse what is real and what is not. And that to me is so much scarier because there's not like some Agent Smith you can defeat to overcome that. It is completely preying on the limitations of and vulnerabilities of the human senses. And there's not really, that's a lot harder to guard against.
Yeah, I don't, yeah.
So I think we're both afraid, and I just, so in addition to being like freaked out and a little very uncomfortable by this, most of that is driven by face swapping for the nefarious means, which is already out there. And of course, porn is leading the way, as they do in so much of technology. I don't know if you know this, but the reason that DVDs became popular instead of like the Betadiscs or Blu-rays originally was porn, because that's what they were pushing it out on, and that's why the DVD got the edge. Regardless, porn is usually on the cutting edge of technology. And so seeing them, the ability for them to take the face of someone like Daisy Ridley and put it on a porn star, like it makes me want to vomit. For several reasons, obvious, like that is incredibly wrong. That's not okay. Like it feels like such a violation. and I'm not even her. So it feels like a violation of humanity. It's kind of like a lot like the controversy around the Super Bowl last weekend when they thought they were going to beam in a hologram of Prince, and that caused a lot of anger at the idea of, you know, beaming in or having a hologram of somebody who had verbally expressed his dislike and wish for that to never happen to him. It's like going against a dead man's wishes. It feels wrong and icky. And I'm sure Daisley Ridley did not consent to have her face put on a porn star's. And it's not like Photoshop where you just like a static image. It's actually like participate. It makes me so mad and angry. And I'm so ragey. I'm trying to keep it together, Josue. I'm trying, but it's really, really hard.
Here's another quick reminder to please leave us a review on iTunes. I know not everyone listens on iTunes or on Apple Podcasts. I don't even do that. I use an app called Overcast, which is great, by the way. You should check it out if you don't use it and you have an iPhone. But when I like a show, I make sure to go to iTunes and give a review. Actually, any feedback would be great, positive or negative. We'd love to hear from you, either as a review on iTunes, or you could always email us at hello@scitechpodcast.com. Okay, that's it. Back to the show.
It's the ease with which it was done, right? So this kind of grew up on a Reddit community called Deepfake, which has been banned. So it no longer exists. So you can't actually go to Reddit and find it. But I'm sure you can find it if you know how to use the internet. You can find a lot of these videos. And so like Kelly said, what happened was that you take a video of... So again, it could be any video, but these examples were porn videos. And then you would take a porn star that kind of looked like someone else, and then you would take that someone else's face and with a software program, so essentially just like map this face on this video, and then the video would play and have that face mapped onto it in a very believable way. Like it looked pretty good. And the way that this community formed and they were perfecting it, like they were trying to outdo each other. It's not even big porn companies who were doing this, right? Who are trying to do this, because I think they know that they're not allowed to just take somebody's face and put it on something and sell it. These were, you know, people who were working on this technology and refining it and making it work. And I don't know how long it was up for, but it was up, like that community was active for a while, and they would take like anime characters and real people and just impose them on other videos. Again, the videos of the presidents or historical figures that we're talking about, those like that terrifies me. But of course, like it's the next step when then you can take someone's face and put them on something else. So like I use those examples of I could make you say whatever I wanted. Well, if there's a video of someone else, then it can make it look like you're doing anything. It is terrifying. And it was, what terrifies me is not that it's done. Again, We've brought up examples of how expensive and difficult it can be. The problem is when it's like drop the person's picture or drop a few pictures of that person and then hit run and then it's done. Like now you've created a video where anybody's doing anything. That ease, like, whew. I mean, now I will say I am hopeful in general about humanity. I always think that because we have the power to do that and we have the power to do many horrible things, and the world isn't as horrible as it could be, considering the power that human beings have to hurt each other and do horrible things. But some people will be hurt by this. And because it's so easy, kids could do this, or kids could do this to other kids. And people can really, really hurt each other with this. And it is terrifying. But again, the ease of how easy it is, it's what terrifies me the most.
Yeah, and the article that we were reading in preparation for this episode, the original Reddit like required computer science, like it required working knowledge of AI and code and things like that. But somebody who came afterwards created an app that basically, I think saying it's like an Instagram filter is probably simplifying it too much, but has made it so, or at least has the goal of making it so easy that anybody could use this app to superimpose somebody's face on somebody else's body. And that, I mean, that to me is the most terrifying thing like out there. Cause I mean, one, you're not just fooling one of the senses. And I think that's what got me about the Obama video was that there, I could visually tell, like between my eyes and my ears, I could tell something wasn't right. I couldn't have told you what it was, but I knew something was off because the visual cues and the auditory cues were not as synced up as my brain thought they should be. But in this case, like, if you can fool your eyes and your ears, you know, what else? I don't know how you defend against that other than training people to be just incredibly skeptical of anything that they see and training them to look at source material so that they know where it comes from and, you know, what is a reputable source and what isn't. And this is exactly the challenge that news has been having for the past like 2 or 3 years of fake news, which is such a cliche term now, but like knowing where something comes from and whether the source is reputable and what it, you know, the potential impact that has had on, you know, on a grand scale of our democracy and on a small scale, you know, being able to talk to your parents at Thanksgiving dinner because you read two completely different realities of news. And I think the thing that makes me the most mad, Josue, just stokes my inner hate fires, is that it feels like this is just one more thing that women have to be afraid of. And of course, I'm taking the feminist lens here because that is my experience. And one of the very first things I thought of was like all of the examples I've seen so far, with the exception of the Obama video and like putting Hitler's face on a South American dictator. All of the examples so far have focused on putting famous women's faces onto porn stars' bodies. So like everything has been, or the vast majority so far has been about the sexualization and exploitation of women. And I'm tired. Like, I'm so angry and I'm so tired of being angry about how internet culture continues to try and make women afraid and to turn them into victims and make them paralyzed and drive them out of this space that they, you know, that you could arguably say every human being has a right to and needs to be in order to have a successful career or livelihood. And it just, it's like, this is just one more thing. You know, someone from RTX could take a video of me, you know, roughing a griff ball match and put it onto something else. And it feels like there's nothing I can do. And I think the fear is that it happens all the time. Like every chance that humanity has to screw women over, you know, it does to make us. I mean, obviously there is pushback. You know, I'm not going to say that everything that's happened has been terrible for women, but typically, especially in tech, these advances are made and they just so strongly reflect the people who are making them. So this idea that the, you know, tech innovators and the experts in this field tend to all be like the same person, they all tend to be, you know, white males for the most part, who are incredibly entitled and have this idea that they have a right to a woman's body, and because they can do something, they should do it, and they don't think about any kind of implications for anyone other than their own self-interest. Like, it's such a reflection of why it is critical to have diverse voices at the cutting edge, and why it's so critical for them to continue to do this kind of crap to keep women or anybody who's not them out of that space. They're setting the tone. They're deciding how this technology is getting used. You see this in AR. You see this in VR. You're not seeing it in just like mobile app tech. And it's 99.9% of the time, it is white dudes getting to make the decisions about how these things roll out and how these things impact our lives. And I'm just so mad. I'm just so mad and I'm just so tired of it.
Well, I think you didn't look hard enough, because I think that Nick Cage got a lot of videos made about him, and that wasn't of a sexual nature.
Exactly. That, but that's it. That's it. That's such a huge thing. It's like, there's a difference between, I mean, we've already talked about the difference between like imitation and farce and doing something like that. I mean, there's a big difference between putting a man's face on another man's face, especially when he was in a movie called Face Off, and versus taking a woman's face and putting it on a porn star so that you can watch a porn video. Like, there's such a huge gross power dynamic at play that I can't. It's just, it's ew, it's so gross.
Well, my point is that the number of people and the number of examples that were happening, it didn't get enough attention until it started happening with porn. And the article that I read most recently that says that the reasons why they were taken down seems to be because they messed with Taylor Swift. They messed with people who
were not having it and then got involved. And I don't know the specifics, but I'm assuming that someone like Taylor Swift or her people got involved and contacted Reddit and were like, listen, this is not okay. This is what's happening. You need to shut that down. Someone as powerful as her had to be the victim for something to happen, which is sad. But I don't think it was, again, it wasn't the only thing, but it was the most salacious. It was the thing that got the most views. There were probably, I don't know, a handful of people who were making the videos. But the reason why it became popular is because of the amount of people that went to view them and shared them.
And like the idea that it was taken off Reddit is somehow a solution. Like, I applaud Reddit for removing them, because there are some things on there that I think should be removed and they still continue to exist. So at least they have some kind of like line in the sand. But the idea that just removing them off Reddit means that they don't have a place of their own, I think is another thing that is just so disturbing, because now we don't know where they are. You know, as terrible as that sounds, is that they don't go away. It's not like they're, oh, we got banned from Reddit. We obviously did wrong. Let's stop now. They're just going to regroup somewhere else. That's harder to track and harder to find.
Yeah, I mean, none of this implies that it's done or that it's a solution at all. That's just Reddit saying, well, we finally agree to not be a part of this, even though we were for a few weeks. All it does is it makes it less visible to the general public, I guess, or the process. Because again, that was fascinating to see people revising the technology and making it better and making changes and people building on their work across different examples, not just pornography, but also pornography. It was really interesting to see, again, to see any community building on something. It was like it's funny the things that inspire people to work together and come together and solve a solution that for which there wasn't a problem.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
I mean, it's the inevitable march of technology outpacing any kind of regulation or ethical consideration. I read an article this morning proposing that all data scientists and AI developers have to take like the Hippocratic Oath and promise not to do harm. And I'm like, that's a very sweet idea. I don't think it has any teeth and I don't think it will actually do anything, but at least somebody is saying something and trying. Like, I can give props for that.
That's also impossible when you're talking about professions that aren't
regulated.
Not only not regulated, but also like a lot of people are self-taught now. You don't even have to go to school to learn these things. You don't need a certification. You don't need a license. So that's not going to fly. That's definitely not going to fly.
I guess the ask I would have, and that would make me feel better about humanity, is if people who are tangentially related to these spaces, you know, whether it's not that they themselves are actually in it, because they probably wouldn't listen to this podcast. And if they did, they would probably think that I'm some kind of like raving feminist psycho terrible word thing. Totally feminist, though. So, taking that word back. But like if your friend starts showing you that video, tell them that's not okay. Like if they pull up that Taylor Swift porn video, oh, look what I did, or look at this. Like just tell them that's not cool. That's not okay. That's not acceptable. You know, if there's nobody going to hold these kinds of people to be decent human beings, you got to start somewhere. I know I've definitely had some difficult moments with my friends when they have said things that are incredibly sexist or misogynist. And I'm like, guys, that is totally not okay. And then they get all angry and then it's really awkward. But I'm also very happy that I said it and that I pointed it out, even though it is uncomfortable for me, because hopefully they won't go and do similar stuff to other women. And so I think if you can call out that kind of crap when you see it, it's incredibly important to making a future that we actually want to live in. As depressing as that sounds.
What I wanted to get to was that this type of technology is definitely going to just change the landscape. How much of your, barring any laws, right, that actually provide some sort of protection to your, or further laws that provide some more protection for your likeness, your image, your voice, all of those things. It's another one of those things where it's like, well, there's a photo of me online, so what's going to happen is going to happen. Like, I think people are going to, there's going to be some sort of shift where some things aren't as, not as sacred as they were before. I don't know what word to use, but yeah, 10 years ago, if one of these videos came out, it would have been a scandal. And then maybe 10 years from now, it's like, oh yeah, there's 10 billion videos of that one person doing X number of things, and no one has any idea what's real or what isn't. And then it becomes normalized in a sense, but then less, like people will be more accepting of certain things. Not only that their image could be used for whatever, because it is so easy, but that also, like, there's just certain things that you can't protect anymore. And I mean, we see that gradually over time, right? We see that happening with a lot of things now. It's like a copyright protection and all these things, right? But we're talking about our likeness. We talk about our data all the time, right? We don't want people or companies with access to our biological data or personal information or all of these things. I feel like we've lost another piece of us that belonged to us and we had more control over, and now we have way, way less control over it. And I'm curious what effect that'll have on everyone moving forward.
So it's kind of funny that this is our topic. I just started playing Life is Strange. I know I'm like super, super late to the party on that one. But I was thinking about poor Kate and that video of her making out with people while she was drugged. And I'm not finished yet, so I can't offer any spoilers because I don't know any. But thinking about the potential harm, especially for teenagers who are so self-conscious of their image and what that means to them, you know, developmentally totally appropriate. But like, imagine a Life is Strange version where this technology is available and someone could have just put Kate's face on someone else's body doing something at the Vortex Club, you know, like... And that happening in real life. You're in middle school, you're in high school, and someone gets a video of person X doing something, you know, doing drugs or doing whatever, and then puts, you know, another teenager's face on it. And just like, it's already such a huge problem that this would just, this like makes it so exponentially problematic and worse.
In 13 Reasons Why, that's one of the first things that happens to the girl when she goes to school. There's a photo that's taken completely out of context, and she's like in a compromising situation in the picture. And that's kind of what I was trying to get at before. It's like, okay, so right now or 5 years ago, a photo like that would be extremely problematic. But my thoughts are that it's going to be less problematic once anybody can do that. And you look at it and you're like, that's not real. Like right now, you would have no reason to doubt that, I mean, other than like the guy spreading the picture is an asshole, you would be like, well, you know, like maybe that might be Photoshopped, you know? Like for years, we've said, oh, that's Photoshopped. That can't be real. We teach Photoshop in high schools, right? Like we kids have this ability. You can watch a tutorial online. And I feel that the easier that technology gets and the more pervasive it is, I think it'll be... I'm wondering if it'll be less problematic. And I seem to feel that way, that, okay, that same example that you just brought up, in 5 or 10 years, or even just now because of where the technology is, it's like, oh, that's messed up that you did that, but I don't think it's going to have the far-reaching effects that it would have before or that it might have today, because anybody could fake that. Like now we're at a point where technology, like you can make anybody do anything. So why would I believe that that's true? And unless people were just like really wanting to be mean or want to believe it, which is a part of the conversation they really, really didn't get into, which is that people will believe what they want to believe. Yeah, at the beginning, we're like, oh, how do you discern what isn't true? But how do you discern what is true? Mm-hmm. Because a lot of people believe things and there's like no way to convince them otherwise. It doesn't matter how much data you have to back it up.
You know what I want, Josue? You know that stuff you spray on your license plate so that speed cameras can't take a picture?
What? What is this? Spray paint?
No. There's like this this transparent reflective aerosol that has been used, and I of course have not used it personally, but you spray it on your license plate, and what it does is it acts as kind of like a refraction. So anytime a bright light flashes on your license plate, like a speed camera,
okay.
When the picture prints out, all you see is like a white blur because of the refraction.
Yeah.
I would like that for my face. Mm-hmm. And I know there is some tech. It's like a necklace you can wear. And when it detects the, I think it's like the UV of a flash, it does the same thing where it I don't know how, through some kind of science magic, blurs out your face.
We talked about that when we did the life logging. Yeah, we talked about that.
But that wouldn't help video, you know?
Yeah.
And I want that for my face, though. Like, just some kind of, like, pixelated blur mask that is used so that any device that captures my likeness is instantly blurred and unrecognizable. And if you want to use my face, you then have to seek my permission. That is what I want to exist.
Hmm.
Make it happen.
Hmm. Again, Black Mirror has given us wonderful examples of this type of thing, where like people's faces are blurred when you try to look at them. Like, you can remove yourself from the conversation, and like that seems to be like what you're talking about, right? Like, you could hit a setting and everybody's looking through their lenses, no lens can pick you up. I think that would be the ideal, right? Where it's like that would mean that every single piece of technology would have to recognize the person that's in front of them. So you would have to have some like universal identifier or something like that. And then...
No, I just want magic, Cosway. I don't want all these technical details.
Magically exist. Technology is magic. I'm working out how it would work. We would have to have a database, though, right? That would then... It would be like the no-call list.
I just want a spray, like a foundation, you know,
magic encyclopedia show, Kelly.
No. You could totally get like lotion that you put on your face, like sunscreen or something, that has refractive crystals in it. So anytime somebody takes a picture or video of you that uses that in any kind of way, it somehow converts the capture, and it affects the camera lens, but not the retina.
With the flash, it works, but I mean, the best way to take a photo is without flash, really. I mean, I don't know.
I'm just saying, it would be something that when the chemical process, wow, that's how old I am with my cameras. When the process, capture process, like, or when it goes to like the pixelation process, it doesn't make it happen. That's what I want, because I don't want to be in a database either. Or people could just not be horrible dickbags.
Listen, again, now you're talking about magic again.
Now I'm talking about magic.
Now you're talking about fantasy. We're not a fantasy podcast.
I think we've got a better chance with sunscreen that also... Hey, it'd be screen. Get it? Instead of sunscreen, it'd be screen.
If you can see it with your eyes, it'll be picked up by any sort of video. That's why I don't think this will work, but let's see what we can do. Let's talk to some scientists.
It's the future, Josue. Anything is possible, as we have found out.
I know, technology, but there's always like anti-technology. Listen, I was thinking about how we're taking, even over the course of our show, we've talked about these things in different ways. Like, we talked about life logging, and we had that example of like, well, what if I don't want to be logged in your life log? Is there a device that can like flash me? Like, it wasn't a real device. It was more like theoretical, like an example. It wasn't like something you could buy when we talked about it, but the idea was there. And then we talked about chainmails. Right. And how that has evolved over time. And I think that this is like a similar idea. Like, why are people sharing this stuff that obviously isn't real? But they believe it is. Or even if they don't, they pass it on anyway. Why is this happening? And then we had that face tech episode where we, you know, used a really simple app and just made ourselves look old or change our gender and did all these things. And I was so impressed by that. And now, if I listen back to that episode, I'm sure I'm going to be like, baby tech. What is this? This is nothing. This is so simple compared to what we can do now with just the same ease, I guess. Like, because one thing is a static picture, and now we've obviously it's just that technology in video form. I mean, Snapchat has a filter where you can swap faces. Have you used that?
No, because that creeps. I've seen it.
Yeah,
never partaken because I'm like, that is too much.
And
like, again, homunculus level creepy.
And it's, that thing's been around for over a year and it's super easy. You just take one picture and then it's a live filter. And actually the way it moves, why am I so surprised about these deepfake videos? Instagram has been doing this because it's not an actual picture. It's actually, while you're moving your face, it's mapping the other face on you immediately, like with a couple more pictures or some video reference. Yeah, obviously we'd be where we are now, and then obviously we'd be at porn. Oh, I don't know how to fix this, but like, yeah, how what can you believe? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Don't believe anything anymore. That adage is like, you know, amplified to a million every day, like more, like it needs to grow exponentially every single day. You need to remember, like, don't believe anything at all. The world we live in, very interesting.
Okay, deep breath and let it go.
I still think the future is bright. I think that the more access people have to this type of stuff, the less weaponized it'll be. And the more we see it happen, the less people will be, the less negative effects it'll have. But that's just me.
I hope so. I hope that it is like your Photoshop example where everybody now is like looking for it. If they see something that looks too good to be true, they are critical of it. And I hope that continues. I hope that's something that kids get taught. I know my son will definitely grow up knowing all of those things, all of those lessons of don't ever click an ad, don't ever click a promoted tweet, don't ever click, you know, don't go to these places because they're just going to kill your computer, and or your don't use this filter because it's creepy or whatever.
I find it so funny when new parents talk about their kids tweeting, like Twitter is going to be around in 10 or 15 years.
Yeah, that's what they said about Facebook when it first started, and it is still here. So
we'll see. All right, that is it for this episode of Psych Tech, your psychology and technology podcast. You can find more episodes at psychtechpodcast.com or at psychtechcast on Twitter. I am at Josue A. Cardona. Kelly is Kelly N. Dunlap on Twitter. And we'll be back in 2 weeks.
You just listened to Psych Tech on the Geek Therapy Podcast Network. For more about Geek Therapy and our other podcasts, visit geektherapy.com. And for extra content, including our monthly book club and other perks, consider supporting us for as little as $1 a month at our Patreon, which you can find at patreon.com/geektherapy.